Welcome to the Bleeding Metal Podcast, everyone. I'm Kiki, and I'm here with my co-host.
Hello, I'm Pia. My pronouns are she, her.
Welcome to the first bonus episode of 2024. Happy New Year!
Wow, it's always so strange to record a New Year's episode in the past year.
In advance, yeah. Yes. The magic of pre-production.
Yes.
But we are here today to recap the year. 2023. So it's some sort of time travel anyway. We are in the past, talking about the further past, but you will hear this in the future. I hope that everybody out there had lovely holidays and that you are starting the new year with purpose and motivation. May 2024 bring us all better times and better year, and especially peace. I wanted to address this because last year, well, the year before last now, in 2022, when Russia started their invasion in the Ukraine, we talked about that and we made a whole episode about it. And we have actually not dedicated the Israel and Palestine war that's going on right now any airtime. And it is, as we all know, a very complicated issue. And what is important to me, at least, is just that the violence stops. That should hopefully happen very, very quickly.
Yes.
But yes, we are here to talk about our favorite releases of 2023, our favorite concerts, our favorite festivals, and all of those lovely experiences that we hope to have more of in this year that's just starting. So how about we start with yours, Pia, and also can we even remember what what happened at the beginning of the year?
Yes, I can remember that very well because my album of the year was actually released in February.
Ooh, So it started strong already.
Yes.
What is your album of the year?
Forgone by In Flames.
Right, we talked about it here. We made a whole bonus episode about it. Mm-hmm. And that was, yes, really, really strong output for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I've been listening to that album throughout the year a lot. For my other podcast, I also did a bonus episode about In Flames' discography. And they have so many strong songs on that release. My favorite song of the year is also on that album, Meet Your Maker. And whenever I found another song that I liked a lot, this tune from the chorus came into my head and was like, no, I'm your favorite song of the year. And I was like, yeah, that's right.
Wow.
So for me, the year started really strong. Yes.
Right. And it seems like it felt like a battle all the time. The songs battling to be your favorite.
Mm-hmm. And then we had another cool release by Currents, The Death We Seek. I really loved their album from 2020, The Way It Ends. And The Death We Seek is not on the same level, but it's a good successor. And I didn't expect Currents to release another album that would blast me away like The Way It Ends did. So yeah, I also enjoyed that one a lot. And my surprise of the year is Endling by Kvelertak. Kvelertak is a band from Norway that I first listened to when they released their debut album, their self-titled debut album in, I think, 2009. And I think, or if you would ask me which is the best debut album that has been released ever, 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 it might be this one. And everything that came after that was like, okay, it sounds like a B-side of the debut or it sounds completely different. It wasn't something that I enjoyed listening to a lot, But now with Endling, that's different. I listened to that one a lot, and I think that should have been the second album. So for me, it's the second album of Quellatag. I don't listen to the three albums or four albums that came in between. But yeah, the debut album and Endling are the Quellatag albums for me.
Oh, nice. Those are good recommendations. I might take a look into those because I've never really listened to Quellatag too much.
They are very special because they mix a lot of sounds. They have a lot of punk rock elements, but also black metal, also metalcore elements. So it's a very interesting mixture of styles.
Nice. What are the lyrical themes in there?
I don't know, because they sing in Norwegian. Uh-huh. Yeah, what else? I discovered a band that was a support act for NSOK when they played in Hanover. The band is called Fixation, and they released their debut album this year, More Subtle Than Death. And mm-hmm. I only listened to them the evening before I went to the concert, and I was like, no, damn, why didn't I discover them earlier? Mm-hmm. So that album was also rotating a lot on my streaming platforms.
That's good.
Yeah.
We also had a very short but very powerful album, which we talked about on the stream, and that was Pitch Black Sunset by the Hellfreaks. Mm-hmm. That also came out early in the year, around the spring, and our talk with the singer of the Hellfreaks was also a very interesting, emotional, intimate episode of the podcast, which will be linked in the description so that in case you haven't listened to it, you can still do that. It was not exactly something I would listen to in my day-to-day, but it has a lot of energy and it's also very inspiring. So it's a definite recommendation. The whole album has a playtime of just 30 minutes, so it won't take too much of your time. It will leave you in a good mood and you will probably feel empowered too.
And it's definitely in my top 10 of the year as well.
Hell yes.
Another album that caught my attention was by Warman. The album is called Here for None. And Warman is the band of Janne Willmann. He has been the keyboard player in Children of Bodom. And Warman was his side project. They started with cover songs, I think. And now, after a couple of years, he decided to release an album that is more in the direction of what Children of Bodom did. So it also sounds like a kind of copy of Children of Bodom. And if it wasn't Janne who did this album with his band, I would say, okay, someone is trying to steal the success of Children of Bodom and take it for him or herself, for themselves. Mm-hmm. But in this case, he has been one of the founding members of the band as well, or at least as they were called Children of Bodom. I think he joined the crew a bit later than the others. But he is, with his keyboard play, a very important part of their music. And so for me, it's completely okay that he says, I'll look for other musicians who will walk on this path for me. And yeah, so Here for None is not as good as the stuff that Children of Bodom released, but still an album that I enjoyed very well.
It brings back some of your own listening roots.
Yes.
Nice.
And of course, Human by Resolve. We also talked about this album just a couple of episodes ago.
Yes. Resolve was a band that I discovered this year with their single and my favorite, New Colors. Mm-hmm. I discovered Resolve through New Colors this year, and that was one of the singles of their album, so it was all very fresh for me, and it's been a song that I have had on repeat, the whole album I have had on repeat. That is also a very, very strong recommendation. That is one of my favorite albums of the year, for sure.
Mm-hmm. How about Ultraviolet by As Everything Unfolds? Did you like that one?
Yes, I was going to bring us a little further back into the year, because Resolve was late summer, early autumn. But we also had Charlie from As Everything Unfolds on the podcast to talk about Ultraviolet. And we also talked about that album in an extra episode of the podcast. And we discussed how I thought their debut album was a little stronger. But as a concept release, I think it was very strong. And you can hear for sure the evolution of the band's sound. And it's just their second album. It's a very young band full of potential. So I thought it was also a very good one. And it was really good to see them live. But we will talk about concerts afterwards. Another release that came out earlier in the year around the spring. Well, two actually. The first one I heard later. I did not hear about it during the release phase. It is Meet Me at the Altars, Past, Present, and Future. And I am still mind blown that this is their debut album because I feel like I've been hearing of them for ages. Mm-hmm. I feel like the band has been around for longer. I still didn't really pay them a lot of attention, and I absolutely should have. The song Cool of this debut album is in my favorites. It's just chill. It's really fun. It's not very heavy, but it's a super diverse band and you can hear it kind of. And it's just really fun. Another person that is very cool is, well, not person, another artist, another act that is very cool. And this one I did hear about around the release because there was so much hype around this release. Take Me Back to Eden by Sleep Token. Oof. Did you listen to that one, Pia?
Nope. I'm one of the people who don't understand the hype around Sleep Token.
What? You're resisting Sleep Token?
Not with force. I'm just not that interested in their stuff because it's not my style of music that I like to listen to. So I basically ignored them the whole time, more or less. Of course, I know some of their songs, but I was always like, me, no, give me something heavier.
All right. Well, it's heavy enough for me, and I absolutely love the clean vocals. It's just this very dark and mystical tone of voice that I can really connect with, that I find very captivating. Four of the tracks on the album made it to my favorites list. I remember, this is like, oof, memories. I remember sitting on the train going back home after I visited my brother in order to see As Everything Unfolds in concert. I was coming back from that little trip and I was sitting on the train looking out the window at these honestly beautiful German landscapes because it's the route right along the Rhine River. And it was just really beautiful. And I just remember crying because the music was so beautiful and touched me so deeply. And everything was just perfect. Sleep Token, Take Me Back to Eden. I absolutely love their music in general. I haven't seen them live yet. Every time I try to get tickets to their concerts, and they have played a lot this year and a lot around me as well, but they sell out so fast. Mm-hmm. I hope to see them soon live, maybe at a festival or something like that. I look forward to see what that's like, what the live experience of this music is like, mm-hmm. because on tape, it is really good.
It sounds a bit like all these post-black metal bands that are really, or there are two kinds of post-black metal. One is very aggressive and the other one is very quiet and relaxing. And it sounds like the relaxing one, like, for example, what Alcest do. And I saw them live at least once. And that was a very cool experience because the atmosphere was very special. And I could imagine that it's the same with Sleep Token.
Right. Yeah, that takes us to the summer releases. Summer, early autumn, as we were saying already, Result. And then In This Moment also released an album this year that I did listen to. Mm-hmm. God Mode.
Ah, yes. Mother was the previous one.
Yeah, Mother was in 2020 already. Mm-hmm. And God Mode has a lot of strong ones. It has a Björk cover and The Purge had a really cool music video as well. Otherwise, can't really remember. Which says a lot. I wish it had made a better impression or left a stronger memory in my head. A band that did not release anything this year, but I became absolutely obsessed with, and I don't know if I've even mentioned them here this year in our episodes, is I Prevail. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to them so much this year, especially in the past week as well. I just started to actually listen to their previous albums and reading the lyrics at the same time and everything, like really focused on their music. It's really good. And I like their newer stuff better, but listening to the first two albums has also given me a good appreciation of their musical evolution.
I think that's always important when you discover a new band, that the previously released stuff is something that can catch your attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, otherwise it feels a bit weird, like, yeah, there's this one cool album, but all the other stuff, I don't know if I should go to a concert because they might play a few of the new songs and a lot of the old stuff that I don't like.
That was actually my fear, but the other way around, when I bought a ticket to Holding Absence. Mm-hmm. Because I liked a few of their older songs a lot. And I thought, well, they have a new album. Why would they play songs from their old album now? But they did, and it was great. Cool. But yeah, Holding Absence. You did listen to that album, didn't you?
Yes, I listened to that once and also was like, it's not my cup of tea.
No?
No.
It's still really good, and it's also very good live. I absolutely recommend that. Another release that was not an album, though, was Spirit Box. Says The Fear of Fear, EP.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked so much about EPs on this podcast, and I have changed my mind. I have said it before. EPs may be okay nowadays, especially because of how we are consuming media and how streaming works. But especially if you do one like this. And Spirit Box is one of my favorite bands right now. I'm going to see them this month, end of January. Again, for the third time now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very, very hyped. And they released a 6-song EP that is a concept album kind of thing. And they composed it like one extremely long song, which they then cut into 6 songs of around 4 minutes and made music videos for each and every one of them. I think one of them is more of a digital visualizer kind of thing, but it still fits the visual theme of the others very well. And for 5, they actually had like on-set filming and really beautiful outfits. And it's just a real cool piece of art because it just becomes so whole. They did not release the songs, not in the order of the track list. So to come back to it, because The Void came out already in the spring before they went out on the whole European summer festival tour, and they played The Void live. So that was already this nugget of newness in their set list. And then they released the rest of the EP one by one, not in the same order. So to go back to revisit all of that and watch the videos in order and listen to the music as one piece, it still has a lot of impact, a lot of, okay, I know this material, but now I'm perceiving it in a different perspective. Mm-hmm. As being part of this whole that I can now enjoy completely. And that is something that, for example, I was missing in Ultraviolet, the As Everything Unfolds album, that everything good from that album had come out already, and the second half of the album, which was the new part, didn't really connect with me too much.
Mm-hmm.
Also, both releases share purple artwork. I feel like we go sometimes through color phases.
Yeah.
Like there were a lot of red releases before, including As Everything Unfolds' first album, their debut. Then we went through like a blue phase. I remember us talking about the astronauts.
Yes.
On several album covers. And Spirit Box Eternal Blue is blue. And I Prevail's release from 2022 is also blue. And now we are entering a purple phase, or we are already in the middle of a purple phase. Not all releases, of course, but it's super interesting to see that.
Yeah. Talking about EPs, in the beginning of December, Devil May Care released their EP Mandala. And that, mm-hmm, for me, is an EP like it should be, because it feels like a whole piece of art, not just songs. Mm-hmm. After each other. And they also have a concept. The song titles don't only have a title, but they have a word and then a sentence as well. So a subtitle, or however you want to call it.
Okay.
The songs are very different from each other. There is, for example, a ballad, but there is also a 2-minute, almost black metal shredding song with harsh screams. But they still fit together because the track list, they really thought about the track list, how to put one song after each other. And so this very harsh black metal-ish song is followed by a more quiet song, but it feels like they match. Mm-hmm. One goes over into the other, and that's very cool. They also have messages in their songs. For example, the song that I just mentioned, the shredding song, it's called Guru, God is Dead. It's criticizing religion, or not religion itself, but what people make out of it, that they commit crimes in the name of religion. They say if God exists, he must be puking a lot because of all these things that happen in his name, for him, whatever. Yeah. And that's something that I can really relate to. And they also did another cool thing with their song Chakra. They released a music video for that, and they released it without sound.
Okay.
They made a deaf video, so they had a sign language interpreter, and they also made their own band performance in a special way that if you see how they perform, you might get an impression of how the music might sound. And they released that music video before they released the song, so you had to wait for a couple of days until you were really able to listen to that song. And I found that was a really cool way to raise awareness that there are people who actually can't hear anything.
Raising awareness for the work of sign language interpreters that we see more and more at festivals as well, on the side of the stage, interpreting for the audience.
Or everywhere, like in the news and stuff like that.
Exactly.
So I think that's very important. And the interpreter that they had, she always also did a lot of facial impressions. So she also focused on the emotions of the song.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yes.
And also it forces you a little bit to not consume the music only in one place. But if you really want to hear how it is, you have to start the song in one place and the video in another. That's interesting.
And even though I couldn't hear the music, I watched the whole video. So it was still interesting.
Yeah, I've always wanted to learn sign language. Maybe I should. What was the band again?
Devil May Care.
Devil May Care. Nice. And then we also have a release by Conquer Divide.
Mm-hmm.
Their album Slow Burn just came out at the end-ish of 2023. It's their second full-length release. It has a lot of very cool moments, actually. Conquer Divide, I find them so impressive and so strong. They were just on tour with Electric Callboy in the States and Canada. Also, I just got into Electric Callboy this year.
You were late to the party.
Yeah, very late to the party, but very impressed and very hyped. And I think it's really cool that they've been touring with Future Palace, and they brought the singer of Future Palace on the stage to sing Fuckboy. And then they went to North America and they toured with the original singer of Fuckboy, or the original collaboration, which is Conquer Divide. So they were able to bring that on stage. And they just had a week-long tour or something of the UK, and they brought Does Everything Unfolds with them on the tour so that Charlie could sing Fuckboy with them. I don't know how they did it in Australia, but at least they're having one woman on their tour for a reason. You know? They could bring more, obviously, as they did with Conquer Divide, but
it's a start.
It's a start. You know, bands could also have female crew members, but you don't see that too often either.
Mm-hmm.
Hint, hint. Make this happen. Talking about female crew members,
let's first mention two songs that have been released in summer that were very, very cool. First one is by Electric Callboy, Every Time We Touch.
Hell yeah.
That's obviously a cover version. And they made a very funny video for that. They always have this kind of romance between the two singers, and they also put it in the video. And when I thought this could be my summer song of the year, then NSOK released Calamity, which also is a kind of cover version of the song Remedy by the artist Leonie.
Okay.
But they changed the lyrics into the opposite and, of course, put a lot of their own style in the song, and that fits very, very well. And that's my most listened song of at least summer. Maybe of the year, I don't know, but at least of the summer.
Oh, nice.
The so tune just goes in your head and it never comes out again.
And that's a sort of satire then, I guess?
Yeah. Or there is another word.
Right.
Parody.
Parody. Yes, that is a good word. Other two songs that were just released this year as singles for upcoming things that have made me very curious and very looking forward to what's coming is Architects' Seeing Red. The single just came out a few days ago and it is really good. And
wait,
another band.
Huh? We had the red phase, we had the blue phase, and then came purple. Purple is the mixture of blue and red, and now it's again a red phase.
No, the album. Or rather, the single cover, the artwork is green. The song is just named Seeing Red.
So maybe it's green for 2024.
Oh, that's a prediction. I like that. Green album covers in 2024, maybe. The other band I wanted to mention that is coming back is Dream State. Mm-hmm. They had a bit of a lineup change. They have a new vocalist now. And they just released two songs, actually, this year, Chin Up Princess and Still Dreaming. And they are touring right now. I am very excited and very looking forward to see what Dream State has in store for us. Ooh, one more. This was a song that I found through Charlie Rolfe from As Everything Unfolds. And the band is called High Regard. The song is called Dead to Me. That was a song that I had in my head during the summer that I sung a lot. And it's an upcoming band that I hope to see more of. Now, talking about Charlie and As Everything Unfolds. I was able to see them in May and it was great. They were touring with Callejon and the Oklahoma Kid. Both those are not my cups of tea. I was there for As Everything Unfolds and for them only. It was a really cool performance. It was nice to see what Charlie had told us, how she is performing the songs she doesn't really identify with anymore, how she performs them differently. And through that, I could see their growth, her growth as a musician. And it was very interesting. I was able to say hello to her for a quick selfie, and that was thanks to her tour manager, Danny, who is the vocalist in a band called Darla. And they are now on tour with As Everything Unfolds. So that is another newcomer that I'm looking forward to very much, to see what Darla is going to do. And that was the first of a few concerts I went to this year. But it's the slow comeback to more live music. So that is definitely one that I enjoyed this year, that I shall remember.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, this year I was at Rock Am Ring, which was a fun experience, I must say. I don't think I'll be going back, though. At least not for
once in a lifetime experience.
It was the second time I went, but I don't know. The whole super capitalistic festivals thing is not as enjoyable, at least not that often. Like, I don't have to spend a ton of money to go to these super mainstream festivals every year. Not necessarily. I would rather see smaller ones. And they don't have to be tiny town festivals either, but there are a lot of different festivals starting
Tuska.
Up. So, yeah. Tuska is an amazing festival. It only has about 30,000 people every day, which is why I find it funny that their statistics at the end of the festival are always like 90,000 people, but it's like 20,000 of those were the same every day.
I once was at an event in London where they also counted the visitors, but the toilets were outside. So every time we went to the toilet and you came back, you were counted as a new visitor.
Oh no. That's hilarious.
Yes. 12,000 people. Well, I guess it were 3,000 and they just went to pee four times per day or whatever.
Something like that. But yeah, 30,000 is not a few. It's a ton of people. But it's still, it doesn't feel too huge. You don't have to walk for hours to get from point to point. And of course, it was an amazing experience to be able to host the Tuska Forum by Bleeding Metal, and to see that little venue inside the venue that had a capacity for 130 people, to see that full because people wanted to see what we talk about with Alisa Whiteglaz or with Sami Elbana or with Marco Hietala. That was all mind-blowing. It was just an amazing experience that I will never forget. Yeah, but in between, I saw Spirit Box for the first time in my city even. They were on tour with Motionless in White. And in Visions, I discovered that band through the concert. And that is always a fun thing to do. And just recently, I went to see Holding Absence. And they were on tour with Thornhill. So that was a very cool concert package. Mm-hmm. And their German support was a band named Floja, which is, I wouldn't say that is metal, but it is very chill alternative rock. It was a kind of cool combination. The audience, though, it was hilarious. I felt so old.
Okay.
Not only that, but also the outfits. It was a very interesting mixture of round glass hipster with a mustache and a sailor hat with goth girls and
okay.
and sometimes goth girls with round glasses and hats.
Why not?
Hilarious. Yeah. The fashion mixes are just like the musical crossovers, I guess. It's just interesting to see what happens in terms of newcomers and younger people, not only on the stages, but also in the audiences. Those were my live music experiences this year.
Mm-hmm. I haven't been to too many concerts. I counted them and I think I was only at 4 concerts. Because
we'll see.
In the beginning of the year, we still had the pandemic until, I think, April. So it was right. Very difficult for everyone to plan. And so there were not too many concerts happening. And after that, I was pregnant. And pregnancy this time, it made me so tired. And it was exhausting with having a little child already. So I didn't really feel like going to a lot of events this year. Mm-hmm. Some of them were also canceled that I planned going to. I also wanted to see as everything unfolds in Hamburg in September, but I was ill when that happened. So yeah, there was not that much for me, but it started very good with We Came as Romans. They had their gig in Hamburg in late May. I think they only played 4 shows in Germany this year, and they're always a blast on stage. So it's one of the best live bands I've ever seen. You can just type in your YouTube, We Came as Romans Live, and search for a gig or a song or whatever that they perform on stage, and they just give everything. They burn down every stage they are on. So that's always fun to see them live. And then I saw NSOK in Hanover, and also this past weekend we're recording on December 12th, and they played the last concert of the year in Leipzig. That's what they always do for the end of the year. And that was also cool because they sold out the venue for the first time. Mm-hmm. And next year they're going to play a bigger venue. That's very cool to see them grow like this.
Yeah. Oh, that's super cool.
They get more and more attention.
Cool.
Yeah. And also a very good gig in Hanover as well. That's where I also saw Fixation on stage. They were also very cool. Mm-hmm. And the other support act was Samurai Pizza Cats.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new side project or second band of the Electric Callboy guitar player Daniel.
Yeah.
They were also fun on stage. And the fourth concert I went to was Lacrimas Profundere, but I didn't see them because I went there for their support act, Devil May Care, and also had an interview with them. And nice. Yeah, they were also very, very cool on stage. They didn't really fit the headliner, but we also talked about that. And Lucas, the guitar player, told me that for them, it's better to play in front of an audience that don't actually know them already. And they get more fans when they have a package like this with the main act that isn't 100% the same style of music, but kind of also a rock band. And yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. That can go both ways, though. I just recently saw Tank the Tech the YouTuber and Twitch streamer who was also the tour manager of Electric Callboy in North America. And he was talking about why Lorna Shore would pull out of a tour to go on tour with bands that were bigger, but not the same specific genre. And
they were on tour with A Day to Remember, right? I think so. They were like very clean vocalish bands, and then Lorna Shore as the first band, and I was like, why? Why deathcore before this alternative rock band? But yeah.
I'm not sure which exactly that was. You can probably Google it, or maybe I can find the video again and post it in the description. But what he argued was that if musicians keep touring to the same audiences, sure, they might get, you know, their sold-out venues and such, but they won't gain any new fans. Mm-hmm. Well, when you get a crossover tour package, you will introduce new fans to other bands. And I think that is very true. I do think that sometimes it can go the other way. I've seen things happen, especially here in Germany. The second band has such a big pool that people go there just to see them, and they don't show up for the first support. They see the second band and they leave. I saw that with Draconian and Infected Rain. For Infected Rain, the venue was full, and Draconian as the headliner, half the people left. And that broke my heart. So it can go both ways. And for people attending these type of concerts, please stay the whole time. Please show up on time. You might hear something that you like. You might learn something new. You might meet people you haven't met before and hear people and hear sounds you haven't heard before that might interest you. So give the whole thing a chance. There's a reason why they are banding up together and not giving you the same lineups. Also, bookers out there, please don't make it more than three bands. It's absolutely exhausting to not know that there's a new tiny extra support have been added, and so doors will open at 5:30 and not 7. Then you missed all of the tiny bands that you want to support, and then also the concert lasts 5 or 6 hours. It's just exhausting. I just saw a tour announcement of 5 bands. It was Catalyst Crime with Leaves Eyes and 3 other bands I don't know, and I'm absolutely not going there.
If you want something like that, make a mini festival.
Yeah,
where you have enough food.
Yeah, it can be a mini touring festival even if you want. But
and you need some space to relax, so places where people can actually sit,
and people that actually plan on being there all day. Mm-hmm. Not just an evening turned super long afternoon. And while I'm being very wise and giving everybody advice, unsolicited advice, Holding Absence was my first concert with a professional hearing protection. Again, because I had some back in 2015, 2016, and then I lost one. So I tried different things, the typical internet, this is super good hearing protection, and nothing really worked the same. So now that I'm starting to go to more festivals and concerts again, I actually invested, because it is a bit of an investment. It is a little pricier, but it just makes such a huge difference to actually hear good sound quality while not being deafened. And the person that made them for me, because they're custom molded to your ears, he suggested I wear them at the club, like when I go out partying. And that was also really interesting and really cool. A very cool experience to be in your own bubble and still hear people who are talking to you and not having everybody have to scream and yell. Yeah. Look into that, but always, always protect your ears. Even if it's with just the standard earplugs, you want to listen to the good music for ages and decades to come. So do protect your ears. Those were my words of wisdom. Now I'm looking at my games, though. Can I ask what your favorite games this year have been, Pia?
I honestly didn't have much time for gaming. So I played the Pokemon DLC. And I think I mentioned one or two other games in this podcast as well, but they didn't have such a big impact on me that I would remember the names right now. So I played how was it called again? You have this female main character going into another world, and there she discovers that she has magical skills. Forspoken.
That's the one with the talking bracelet, right?
Yes, and I wanted to focus on Diablo 4, but actually I didn't because mostly because you cannot pause the game. And when you have a small child, then you need to pause the game from time to time. And if it's absolutely not possible, then your motivation goes very low. So I started it 2 times and yeah, it didn't come very far in the game. Maybe I will give it another try, but at the moment I'm a bit disappointed.
Yeah.
Because it's for no reason. I don't know. They could have made this single player mode for people like me and the multiplayer
mode. Because
there
is a story still, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Right. Talking about story, though, and a story kind of similar to what you were just describing for Spoken, I am addicted to Control. Mm-hmm. Control is a game made by Remedy, a Finnish gaming studio that came out in 2019 as part of the Remedyverse. Apparently, a lot of games made by this studio, like Max Payne and Alan Wake, build this universe and the stories cross over. And Control also has a female protagonist. It has a lot of paranormal activity kind of things. I'm still discovering the story and I can't wait to get back. It's not easy. I've been struggling a lot with this game. It's a shooter with abilities type of thing, but I love it. I love it. It's really interesting. And I don't know if I will play the other games of the universe. Alan Wake 2 was just announced for next year, I think. I'm not sure. But if there is a sequel for Control, I will play that for sure. Another one that I really, really enjoyed, and it was only a few hours of playtime, was Little Misfortune, an indie game with a female protagonist that I very recommend. And another little indie game, also with only 3 hours of playtime, that I just played last week on the Women in Games Twitch channel is Never Alone. This is a very interesting story game because it has a lot of cultural significance. It came out in 2014 already, and it's by Upper One Games. And it tells a story of the culture of the people in Arctic Alaska. I played the video game and every few minutes of playtime, I unlocked a video that told the story of their traditions and their customs and how all of those narratives made it into the game. So I very much recommend that one as well. Yeah.
That's it.
Apart from Green Artworks, Green Album Artworks, is there anything you're looking forward to in 2024?
I'm looking forward to birthing my child and figuring out how my then new family might work. And then I hope that I can go to concerts again in the second half of the year. I already bought one concert ticket for the NSOK final round in December. So I hope I will make it to there.
That's a year from now.
Yes. It's tomorrow in a year.
Good.
Yeah, but honestly, I didn't really pay much attention on future releases and stuff like that because at the moment I have different stuff. I'm in the state right now where people are always telling you, look at yourself, do some self-care and don't do too much, don't put too much pressure on you with being interested in so many things and paying attention to so many things. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, I really don't pay attention to a lot of things. Honestly, I take the time for myself and yeah, I hope I can start with this spirit in the new year so that everything works well. And then when I recovered from everything, then I can pay attention again to releases and stuff like that.
Hell yes, that's absolutely important. So we will be here waiting for you when you come back.
Thank you. How about you?
Things that I'm looking forward to in the new year? I honestly don't know. I'm leaning into the uncertainty. That's fine. No, I just started a band project myself, so I'm very excited about that. We're working on our first song even.
Ooh. Do you have a band name yet?
No, but I have many ideas. So that is something that I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to see if we can actually make a Tuska Forum by Bleeding Metal happen again. And I am looking forward to our new co-hosts and team members of the Bleeding Metal podcast. We shall introduce them very, very soon. And otherwise, there's a lot of stuff coming up. There's a lot of really cool stuff, I think, in the works for metal fans, including the rock streaming platform. I think, Pia, maybe you have more insight about it, but it's supposed to be a Spotify competition made for rock and metal fans to also financially support the artists in our community a little more. So I am looking forward to seeing that come alive in Europe in, well, this month, in January, and try it out, see how that works out. Maybe we will invite the creators onto the show to talk about it.
Yes, that would be great.
That would be great. But yeah, this is the Bleeding Metal podcast that you were just listening to. I am Kiki. You can find me at KikiGGE87 everywhere on the internet. Come join my Twitch stream 3 times a week.
You are also invited to follow me on Instagram, power_Pia. But there won't be much happening within the next weeks.
Anyway, subscribe to the Bleeding Metal podcast on iTunes, follow us on Spotify, leave us a review. We're very grateful for all your support for another year. Thank you so much for listening all through 2023, and have a wonderful new year. See you around.
Bye-bye.